In the summer of 1979, I returned back home to Tennessee from 6 years in Chicago going to school. And one of the things I had set my mind to do was to attend an event that I had read about. It was fairly new at the time. It was in a small town in East Tennessee. And it was called, although it was a pretty modest event, it was called the National Storytelling Festival. So the first weekend in October, I got in my Chevy Vega. That gets a laugh without saying anything else, doesn't it? Square back, which meant I could sleep in it because I couldn't afford a hotel room and I didn't know anyone to stay with. The weather was much like it was this last evening, down into the 30s. And I was cold. I would buy coffee just to hold it and warm my hands up. But I was in heaven. You see, a couple of years before, in one of my classes in graduate school, a professor had turned to me and almost offhandedly said, "You know you're a storyteller, don't you?" I hadn't really thought about it. That's just the way we talked where I grew up. And I knew that if I had called my great aunt, my auntie, the one who told me stories, a storyteller, she probably would have whipped me because she would have understood me to be calling her a liar. But here I was, surrounded by other people who called themselves storytellers. It was wonderful. There were about 700-800 people there that year. There are many, many more now. But I started meeting other people who did similar things to what I did, and some of them told stories out of their own tradition, or some who told from the Native American tradition, the African American tradition. We had storytellers from Ireland. We had storytellers from Africa. We had storytellers from all over the U.S. and Canada. We had storytellers who told the kinds of stories that I had grown up hearing. And then the next year I returned, and the next year I returned, and after a while, began to know a number of those folks. Every year, they're kind enough to send me a complimentary ticket, that which they do for all their former featured tellers, but I had not really taken advantage of that until last year. It was the 40th anniversary, and they said, "We want all the tellers who have been featured to come back, if it's at all possible." So I went. And it was an amazing thing. Those very same tellers who in 1979 were young tellers, including myself, were all old tellers. It was great to see those folks that I had come to know and love across the years. People like Ed Stuyvesant and Donald Davis and many, many others. We gathered to have a photograph made on that Saturday evening. And looking around, there was a great cloud of witnesses who had witnessed from their own tradition to the power of story to carry wisdom from generation to generation. But we also read the names of those other witnesses who were not physically present with us. Rosebud Yellow Robe, Jackie Torrance, Marshall Dodge, Ray Hicks. There were many, many, many more. And just like the reading we did just a few minutes ago, it was as if we were invoking this great cloud of witnesses, this great community of all those who had gone before us. We had benefited. I had benefited from their wisdom. I had benefited from their gift. They had formed me into the storyteller that I am. And whenever I hear that phrase from the book of Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses, I think of a gathering like this, where there are lots of folks around us, each one of us witnessing in our own way, telling our own story, living out our own story. But in the midst of us are all of those who've gone before. We read the names of some every year, but there are many, many more, and you remember them. You recall them. They're the ones who shaped you, who formed you into the kind of person you are today, the kind of disciple of Jesus Christ you are today. It's interesting that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, right before summarizing with the statement you heard Sarah read, starts with Abraham and Sarah, and then gives story after story after story, Isaac and Rebekah, the sons, Jacob and Esau, Moses. At the beginning of telling these stories, the writer gives a brief summary of each one, but after a while, the writer seems to pick up speed until finally there's just a list of names, one name right after another. I think the writer assumed that at least for some of those hearing this read aloud in the congregation, which is how it would have been experienced, each of those names would bring forth a story, a memory. Many of these names have brought forth stories for you. Some of them because they were your teachers. Some of them because they were your friends or friends of your parents or grandparents. Some of them because they simply were. They lived in our midst in such a way that their lives touched ours. They came to this same chancel rail. They extended their hand to receive the elements at Christ's table, not mine, not ours. And they went back nourished to live as we do in our own frail and faulty ways, a desire to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, our ways are so frail and so faulty that we desperately need each other to help us through these times. Those who are physically present with us and those who are present with us in memory. Those who have gone before. The writer says Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. But run the race. Anyone who finishes the race wins. You don't have to come in first. You don't have to come in second. Anyone who completes the course wins. And we're here to cheer each other on. No matter how far behind we may fall on occasion, no matter how weary we may feel on occasion, we are here to cheer each other on. And it's the memory of those who have lived their lives in faith, who have crossed that finish line before us, that sometimes just keeps us running or walking or hobbling or moving forward with someone else's help in the very best way we know. And so today we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, a cloud of witnesses that you can see if you look around, and a cloud of witnesses that may be invisible to us, but that are visible to God, who experience God's love in a way that we can only dimly imagine, those of us who are still encumbered by a physical body and the senses. They are the ones today who have formed us. And our prayer is that we can support each other and live in such a way that future generations, when they read our names aloud, will say, "That person formed me as well. That person formed me as well. You formed me as well."